On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by international best-selling author Hemant Sunim, telling us what to do when things don't go your way.
When we are, you know, very young and have a first love, and the first love did not work out, we feel as though this is the end of the world. However, we learn that is not the case. We move on. We find some other people. We begin to see that when things don't go your way, maybe it's not the end.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave, 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
The Miners won this year, won the Munster, and they won the All-Ireland. They're seen as they're after losing the Munster. I think if any team are best equipped to stop Limerick, I think it could be Clare.
And I tell you, I missed out on it the last time. I was probably a fraction young, but by God, if they win it this time, I think we'll be all packing the bags to head to the banner.
Hello and welcome to the Throw-In Hurling Show. Well, what a Sunday of hurling that was. 1 point wins, dramatic finishes, 5 in a row Munster titles for Limerick, 4 in a row Leinster titles for Kilkenny, and gutting defeats for Clare and Galway. Well, John Milan and Eddie Brennan are here. What a day that was yesterday, lads. Eddie, after lifting the Bob O'Keefe Cup, Owen Cody said, "We're probably hearing all week that there's no hurling in Leinster." I tell you, there's plenty of hurling in Leinster. But what a game the Leinster final was. What a finish. You're never beaten, are you?
No, certainly not yesterday. And I didn't think, I think myself at one stage we'd given up the ghost, all right. I thought when Galway got the second point, I definitely felt that was it. It was going to take a miracle. But at the same time, you know, I suppose that's one thing that Brian Cody instilled in his teams. And it's, look, we're fortunate enough in that back in, you know, years gone by, that was the calling card of most Kilkenny teams, was that they would stick at it to the end and pinch something like that. But, you know, of all people, Killian Buckley. And it was just fantastic entertainment. I think definitely all year we've been lauding about how good the Munster Championship is. But thankfully, from a Leinster perspective, we got a fight, you know, we got a showpiece event that absolutely, you know, went toe to toe with Munster. And overall, we got massive entertainment in both games yesterday. But just even the sequence of play that led to it, like, I mean, talk about tired bodies. I mean, I think it's, you know, Ray Boyan had a piece up this, you know, on Twitter. You know, Galway had so many times, just say even lie on that ball, you know, just even pick it up, give away, you know, just kill the play. Because once it was flying around and Garrod McInerney took a fresh air swing. I think Conor Cooney went to grab it. TJ took a fresh air swing. I mean, such was the fatigue levels at that stage of the game. So, yeah, look, absolutely delighted with how they done it. Like I said, in a good place now to reset and go again. But definitely, you know, Kilkenny, I think, as Derek said afterwards, it's been a commanding position and then, you know, leave Galway in it. But Galway, to be fair to him, dug in. But yeah, look, and looking across at Munster too, I thought it was an absolutely fabulous, two great matches, two great pieces of entertainment, fitting provincial finals.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad day either down at the Gaelic Grounds, John. You were down there. A historic day for Limerick, like 5 Munster titles in a row. They join Cork in achieving that feat now as well.
Look, an incredible achievement by... What an incredible team. That's 12 finals now across the board between National League, Munster and All-Ireland success. They're 2 away from doing immortality, joining Eddie's great Kilkenny team. But I'll remind Limerick supporters, they won't remind them that the next final is number 13. And we all know, I know from having number 13 on my back, It can be an unlucky number, but
it was my favorite number, John.
Yeah, well, look, it was my favorite number in 2004 when I was sent off. So, but no, look, the Gaelic Grounds as a whole, I went up there early. I arrived in Limerick at about 10:30, and the place was just buzzing. It was, and it was the right call for me having it in the Gaelic Grounds, and that was evident yesterday by the support of both sides. It was just, you know, the place was just thronged. It was heaving with supporters, great atmosphere, really added to the occasion. It was very, 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 very hot up there. But the game led to, you know, lends to the occasion as well. It we were saying, would we possibly get another thriller? Could we match the Munster final of last year and the round robin game? And it was right up there for entertainment and excitement. And look, when Clare reflect on the match, look, we can talk in a minute or two about the late free. When they reflect and they break down and they dissect the game and they go through it, you know, in contrast to last year's Munster final, I thought last year's Munster final, they gave it everything, you know, but they were kind of still hanging in there near the end. But on this occasion, they had the opportunities to go and win it. And when they will reflect, and when Brian Lone will look back on it this week and see, Jesus, it has to be a missed opportunity, because, you know, just before halftime, they had an opportunity to push the margin out to possibly 5-6 points, even 7 points, you know, those two Ryan Taylor opportunities. But look, you can't be too hard on Ryan Taylor. Maybe the first one where he elected to take on the point, he had Kelly and he caught Malone outside him. That was possibly the one where he should have passed it inside and they should have went for goal. And then he had an opportunity to put the ball over the bar himself, and then he was saying to himself, well, look, I'm not going to make that mistake again, and he'd Rodgers outside him. And look, that great team that Eddie were on was on Kilkenny, you know, they go for the killer blows, and the killer blows are goals. And, you know, that's probably the way Brian Lowe said to his team, look, if the opportunities present themselves and we can raise a couple of green flags, we're going to go for them. So, look, they went in a half time. For me, they possibly should have been 5 or 6 points up. And then near the end, you know, great credit to them. They never threw in the towel. They kept going, you know, right to the end. And the opportunities presented themselves near the end where they had 4 or 5 clear opportunities to cut the lead and even go into the lead. You know, and even when you see some passage of play where you see Ryan Taylor, I thought it was immense yesterday. You know, him chasing lost causes, you know, getting a flick in, getting a last minute flick in. You know, you think it's going to be a Limerick score, and next thing Ryan Taylor chases down a man. I thought Shane O'Donnell was the same. I thought Kelly was brilliant. Conlon. And look, we can be so hard on your man Keane Nolan, but look, you've been there, Eddie. I've been there. Jesus, you're speaking to two lads that, you know, what was their game all about? You know, get the ball played into you, you know, in acres of space, and, you know, you take on your man. And I don't think we can be too hard on Keane Nolan. What can you do? For me, he was touch tight yesterday. I would be asking my defenders to be touch tight. But when your player were brave yesterday, they went man on man. But if you go man on man, you're going to, it's at the other end. It's at the other end where you leave 40 acres of green grass in front of Flanagan and Gallan. And look, Rory Hayes, he got picked off for 8 points by Flanagan yesterday. He got the better of Flanagan yesterday. Flanagan didn't get a score off him. And look, Eddie's been there before. If Keane Nolan went down with Mark Gallan next week, it might be a totally different ball game. So
what it is, John, is Limerick are so good at, they play, if you set up a certain way, their game plan then goes to plan number one, which is, you know, their bodies outside, they will shoot from outside. But it reminded me a small bit of the league final this year where Kilkenny pushed right up on them and they went to town. You know, you look at the space in that league final, you think of the goal Gallan and Flanagan got between them that time. Again, you're talking nearly all four of Kilkenny's defenders were outside the 65 when that ball got delivered in. Really the same as when David Reedy got his heads up yesterday. And they're able to do that. They're able to, they have their game plan there that if you go man to man, like you said there, and Condon was off out the field, the full forward line now just retreat inside, almost into the big square. Even Gallan goes in around the goalie, and look at all the space they have to operate.
Look, we're going to dig more into the Munster final in a moment, but let's just start with how the day finished yesterday. Galway in the lead, then that incredible goal by Killian Buckley, not exactly known for his goal scoring exploits, but with 75 minutes and 15 seconds, 13, 15 seconds gone, he scored his first championship goal. And this is one, Eddie, that will not be forgotten for a long time either.
No, geez, it's a kind of it's a mantelpiece photograph moment, really, for Killian. It is like it's a moment of moments, and I think you're sometimes very fortunate to get something like that in your career. But I suppose Killian played a good bit of underage as a forward, and when he came on the Kilkenny scene initially in 2012, I think he played in as a wing forward, and then he obviously made a huge career when he went back number seven. But he's a guy who's had a tough couple of years between injuries and different things, and probably, you know, even mentally, I think it showed yesterday what kind of a guy he is, because he's been played in matches last year. He was in and out of the team, had good days, had bad days. And then, you know, to come back yesterday, like even yesterday, the very first ball landed on him, he soared through the clouds and took it. And it just showed like that here's a guy probably just building up and building up, wanting to just explode into a match. And he did. But I think it was, you know, from that perspective, like you'd say, the little bit of craft, the impact off the bench even that Kilkenny got was massive yesterday. Like, I think, was it 2-4, maybe 2-5 came off the bench. So, you know, it ultimately got us home. But I think the area that you'll work on, say, look, we were in a commanding position. We were 8 points up. Akin to the round-robin match below in Nolan Park, we were in a commanding position. And just, you know, I think maybe game management is something that Derek will look at going into the All-Ireland series, saying, look, if we get into a position like that with a team and they get a point or two back, it's probably to kill it down a small bit. But yeah, look, from you know, we saw even the image of the old gaffer himself, Mr. Cody, you know, in the stands, and Matt Root beside him, his trusty wingman from school. And just to see what it meant to them. And I suppose, look, you are who you are, and that passion will never leave, you know, Brian. So I suppose that just summed up maybe what the emotions of the match, because it was a great game in that regard. You know, Conor Whelan having a game of games at that end, and you know, even Mikey Butler, I just thought was brilliant, his finish.
What a goal.
You'd be saying it'd be some cracking training now if Mikey come up to the forwards last night and I show you how to put away a few goals.
John, like, what a way to win a final, as we were saying there, but what a way to lose it. I mean, Galway had a good start this time. They obviously learned their lessons from the game against Dublin. But then once again, they found a hole that they had to dig themselves out of, like 8 points down, 20 minutes to go. But then they came back, showed their character again, and they looked like they had it in the end. But the manner of that loss was just a kick in the guts, wasn't it?
Oh, cruel, cruel. And look, I've been there before. We lost an All-Ireland Club semi-finals at Clarenbridge in 2011. 2-point lead going into the dying seconds, and you know, they got an epoxy goal. And look, for me yesterday, you know, jeez, I was thinking in my own mind, any time that happens, you know, Clarenbridge just keeps, I keep getting reminded.
You've clearly got over it.
Of Clarenbridge. I'll never get over Clarenbridge.
You're in the happy place, John.
Jeez, but yeah, I suppose, but for Galway, look, numerous opportunities to as Eddie touched on, to get rid of the ball. I mean, I think it was Garrod Hegarty started off. He tried to hit the ball out first, then he mishit it. I don't know. I think there was an opportunity to get it. Joseph Cooney missed the pickup. Then Carl Mannion had an opportunity to get a block in on John Donnelly, and then the kick near the end, Pádraig Mannion. Oh, Jesus. And then he didn't really hit it too cleanly either. And I think the goalkeeper's vision was kind of, you know, he was kind of
lined up in front of him,
by one or two players. But look, hindsight, you can always say hindsight, we should have done this, we could have done that. But look, when you're there and you're in the moment, but look, from a Galway perspective, you know, I go back to that Clarenbridge game. We never had an opportunity. You know, that was the All-Ireland gone. But Galway, at least, you know, when they go back training this week, probably take a couple of days off to say, right, we'll look at the positives throughout the game. And there was a lot of positives. Look, they came back from 8 points down. They came back from 10 points down against Dublin. Finished strong, done everything right in those closing minutes, with the exception of the goal. So I think Henry will take an awful lot of pluses from the game yesterday. But look, at the end of the day, when you reflect, you know, it's like giving a medal to, you know, it's like being a medal being robbed off you. Look, Jesus, you know, it's in the aftermath of your career, when your career's over, and you calculate all the medals that you have, and you look back, and for some of those Galway players, it might have been a first Leinster medal, and some of them, you know, they have their All-Irelands, they've league success, and I think some of them are chasing their third Leinster title now, and you know, they have three Leinster titles or three Leinster medals, you know, to look back on would have been nice, and look, it was...
Yeah, it's an awful way to lose one. It's just, like, even to, when we, like, tactically as well, like Conor Whelan going out and kind of jumping from wing to wing, I thought that paid huge dividends. And it was something that, you know, we spoke about last week about getting him on ball where he can hurt you. But I suppose there's one that I do think probably didn't help Galway's cause, and there was good reason for that. But I thought Galway probably took out their strongest line a little bit, or weakened it a fraction by putting Padraig Mannion on Owen Cody. Owen Cody still picked off a couple of points, won a few frees. And I can see why you would do that, but I still think, Padraig Mannion there in that half-back line, I think they have been, that half-back line has probably been what has helped Galway during the year. But I suppose, as a manager, they're the decisions you take, and you make them in good reason, like, you know.
Yeah, and I don't see any reason for that, because, you know, Morrissey and Grealish.
Oh, yeah, well able for them.
They're two touch-tight cornerbacks, and look, if I was Henry the next day, you know, I think you have to have a bit of trust in those lads. I mean, even the one for me is Cottle Mannion. Like, Cottle Mannion is, like, Jesus, there was a time where Cottle Mannion was banging over 5, 6, 7 points in games. And even his role, like, was a, you know, I know he had the same role last year against Kilkenny, but Kilkenny put Mikey Butler on him last year and kind of nullified his influence, and he played the same role against Cork and Limerick. I just feel like, you know, he's too big a player to be having in that role. Like, you know, you're taking away a lot of scorn, you know, from your forward division. Like he could quite easily, you know, on any given day, he could pick off 1-2, 1-3 if he's inside or if he's across the half hour, and he could pick any team off for 4 or 5 points. So you're kind of taking that away from your scoring threat for me, like, you know, having Cottle Mannion playing that role at Henry and playing yesterday.
We spoke last week about kind of the pressure on, you know, Henry Shefflin to kind of win some silverware with Galway. Eddie, I think you said in your Indo column this morning that you don't expect them to make the All-Ireland final.
It's hard to see, because I think their form has been so bitty this year. I think, you know, when they're good, and like, he has made some changes. I think Doughty Burke at centre back, although be it, they had to move them quickly enough yesterday when McInerney got booked. I think they flipped him out straight away. I suppose your year two, there's a little bit more expected of you, and I think there was we step out, take away, you know, the side shows and the drama from last year. Galway, you know, didn't account very well for themselves in the Leinster final last year. So, you know, what we were talking about last Monday was that they needed to bring a bit of edge to their game, and they brought a bit of it to a degree. They put them, you know, they ran up a good score. Nyland was good. Whelan was excellent, you know. But I suppose if you're looking at going into the All-Ireland series now, like, I mean, their old rivals, Tip, who there's never anything between them. You know, if Tip come through that Offaly match, you know, you're looking at what will probably be the one is Galway and Tip. That's going to be a tough, tough match, because this Tip team are in a decent space at the moment. Little blip the last day in the campaign in Munster, but they're freshened up. They're going to be nicely humming coming into, you know, the Offaly match. And then, you know, if you'd expect them to take care of business, that's going to be tough. And then, you know, round two, again, like last year, face into the All-Ireland champions. And I know they gave a huge rattle off them last year, very, very close. But I don't see it even in their body language, I suppose, as such either. Like, and I know, yes, it was cruel, But I don't know. Like I said, there's a lack of consistency in how they're playing, maybe. And I think Liam Sheedy touched on it there last night. If Galway could stop putting themselves in these holes, you know, then they're in a better position. Whereas, you know, yesterday they got into a great position and then coughed up goals, and like letting lads walk through the heart of your defence, that, you know, that just has to be, you just cannot let lads do that. That happened three times yesterday.
Okay, so let's just get into the Munster final. Limerick 123, Clare 122, fifth successive Munster title for them, as we said. And that's 12 finals, as you mentioned, John, played under John Kiely, 12 finals won. This man, I mean, what an incredible record for a manager.
Yeah, I suppose, so what can you say? But look, I was looking at the celebrations after, like, you know, Kiely was wicked excited. Even in contrast to the celebrations in the aftermath of the Cork game, you know, Clark and Kiely, they were really kind of, you know, giving it everything. But I was just looking at the celebrations yesterday. Clark was kind of, he was kind of more reserved. He was kind of saying to himself, yeah, well, look, you know, there's going to be another day now. And the next day now is the big one, you know, final number 13 and the four in a row. So I'd say Clark is thinking ahead already. He's saying to himself, well, look, you know, this Clare team, they're closing the gap slowly but surely. But, you know, great credit has to go to this Limerick side and to the Kiely. I mean, yesterday, and I'd say what's happening, Sinead, I'd say they're picking the team a bit like Kilkenny under Cody. I'd say they're picking the team off of what's happening on the train. That was evident yesterday. I mean, he was up there, and before the match, you're saying, Jesus, Graeme McCarthy is starting, Dave Reedy is starting. Now, we were having a conversation last Thursday. You told us last Thursday, Dave Reedy and Graeme McCarthy were going to be starting. You're saying, Jesus, you know, on top of missing Keane Lynch. And, you know, to think that, as Liam Sheedy touched on last night, that they've won this competition without Sean Finn, probably their best defender, and without Keane Lynch, you know, an incredible achievement. And, you know, you think of where Limerick have come from. Like, Limerick, you know, Limerick won the Munster Championship in 2013. Like, that was the first time in 17 years they won the Munster Championship. And now they've won five in a row. An incredible achievement. Like, you know, considering that, you know, for years, you know, they've always been the understudy to both Tipperary and Cork. But, yeah, look, you've seen it yesterday. The young lads came on. Adam English came on. Cottle O'Neill came on. And they have the backup. And as I said, now the 4 weeks will suit them. I think Kiely touched on the aftermath of the match that they'll take this week off. The players know now what's expected of them now. They know their routine from previous years, what's to be expected from the 4 weeks, similar to Kilkenny. I think the 4 weeks will still kill Kilkenny as well, because, you know, Eddie touched on it, they probably have their routine of, you know, what they'll deal with in those 4 weeks. It's more so then for the likes of Galway and Clare. You know, I think Galway will probably look back and say, like, we got it right last year. We beat Cork and we got it right for the semi-final. But it's more for Clare that, you know, they're going to have to take learnings from last year, because possibly, you know, they might have to tweak their training. Like, did they go too heavy in the aftermath of last year's Munster final? Because they looked a tired team going into the Wexford game, and they looked a jaded team by the time they played at Kilkenny. So, like, from Brian Lowen's point of view, you know, less might be the key now, like, where your sessions might go down to maybe 30 minutes rather than an hour and 15, or, you know, 35 minutes, or even within the next 2 weeks, he might just have only one probably top-class session. He might have it this Saturday. They might rest up, might have it this Saturday, and then it'll be just total rest. And even again, for the next 2 weeks after, they might have... So from a Clare point of view, they might only have two top-class sessions, possibly, if they get over Dublin from here now to a semi-final. Whereas Limerick now can plan ahead, they can plan the 4 weeks, probably go off on a training camp weekend, and Kilkenny are probably going to be similar as well. They'll probably go off on a training camp weekend as well, because that's the reward of winning your province, as we touched on last Thursday. You know, Kilkenny will avoid Limerick, they'll get the 4 weeks, and similar for Limerick, they get the 4 weeks and they're able to recuperate and get you know, rest up the bodies and get the bodies recharged.
Yeah, Eddie, let's get into the no-free thing at the end. I mean, it was a manic finish even before that. Obviously, the Limerick supporters kind of ran onto the pitch. They had to be cleared off. And then Liam Gordon didn't blow for what seemed like a straightforward foul there at the end. Just kind of two there, but the one probably obviously on Tony Kelly. Like, how was that not a free?
Yeah, it certainly looked it. And I just think overall, right, you know, and I spoke about this in the article today, I said, I think Liam Gordon let it flow yesterday, right, and it contributed to a match. But consequently then, when players, and myself and John tell you this, when you know that that line has now, you know, bent out considerably, or that he's letting it go a little bit and you can fly into tackles and it's hot and heavy, and that's what we want, you know. So I suppose I'm mindful of, we can't have it every way. And I think what happened then was that he started letting little frees go. I felt that there was definitely a couple of very obvious frees both ways that were missed. And then it just becomes that a little bit. So I suppose he's all equally under pressure in a millisecond score. Was that definitely a free? And it's hard because even the sequence of play there where Limerick hunted down the Clare lads from the goal out to the side, like the ones that there, like Mike Casey dived in the tackle, and lads, it was nothing short of a rugby tackle. Like, he dived in and kind of cut down, I think, Rogers or Meehan or one of them. And you're kind of going, you know, and when it's frantic like that and the speed of it, it's very hard to call it. But I think there's justification in that. I think there's definitely a valid call that there should have been a free, if not two there. But I think, in my view, I think Clare need to not dwell on that, because that match was there for their taking. I go a step further. I thought Clare could have been 8 points up at half-time had they been ultra-clinical. And, you know, he said about this Ryan Taylor, who's been phenomenal this year, little bit of indecisiveness, you know, cost him. Like, and then the second time when his chance presented again, and I'd always be for saying maybe the first one, you know, steady himself up. He didn't know whether to put it across or shoot. Just steady yourself up. And in the end, he only half committed to the point, and as a result, it just faded out. Whereas if he taps that over, and then when Limerick were opened up, I think that's when the opportunity is to kill him. But it's something that's, you know, do you know the way sometimes you see it, or, you know, give a free, balance the books, it's a draw, great, everyone is happy. But I suppose when there was so much going on there, you know, and a ref, they get milliseconds, they have to be 100% sure. But for me, you kind of went, God, there was definitely what looked like two fouls. And equally, Shanahan looked as if he threw the ball as well. So I don't know. But I think on the balance of it, I think Clare can feel that definitely they look at that first half they left behind. But equally then, in the first half, like Dermot Burns, when maybe were Limerick 1-2 down or something like that, Dermot Burns catches a ball three times in a sequence of play, brings the ball out, sets up a Limerick point, and then they'll, you know... And you just wonder, how does something so obvious get missed in the start of a game? And they're the small margins. I think Limerick were saying yesterday as well that they felt that they missed a lot. They should have had more frees. But yeah, look, it's a cruel way to go.
I think what we have to allow for now, Sinead, just going forward, these games are so hard to referee. Frantic, very physical. We have to allow for that there's going to be mistakes made. And I think supporters kind of have to kind of take a step back and say, Jesus, you know, to referee one of these games for 73, 74 minutes, it's a big, big ask, and it's very difficult. So I think going forward, I think we have to allow that there's going to be one or two mistakes are going to happen within these games going forward. But that's grand. Once they're not big yes. Mistakes that are going to be really evident, that are going to go, you know, going to be talking points in the aftermath of the match. And that was a big, big talking point in the aftermath of the match. And look, for me, there was two frees, and they were right in straight in front of Liam Gordon. And for me, I think he probably got a little bit spooked by blowing up the whistle and the crowd coming onto the pitch. And he probably got a bit bamboozled in his own mind and saying, well, Jesus, I better, as soon as I get an opportunity to blow the whistle again, I'm going to blow the whistle. And unfortunately, it was to Clare's cost.
But as you say, they're like Clare, like, will have their own regrets after this. You know, what, 12 or 13 wides, you know, yeah. Five or six of those shots fell short. They, you know, this was as good a day as ever for them to finally beat Limerick. And that ultimately is the bottom line.
100%. But Sinead, right, Brian Lowen, probably was going to be thrown at Brian Lowen. It looks probably been thrown at him already this season. Look, he's won nothing. But by God, look at the job he's after. He only shut the short space of time. Look at they were unbelievable yesterday without winning the match. And look where they've come in such a short space of time, in the space of what, two years. Like, but in 2020, then in the COVID quarterfinal, Waterford beat them, pulling up in an All-Ireland quarterfinal. In the Munster Championship campaign that year, Limerick beat him at their ease. So where he has him at the moment, going competing and taking on this Limerick team and going toe-to-toe with him. And like, the small margins, like last year they had to go to extra time. This year they won by a point. Last year in Ennis in the round robin, it was a draw and a point again. And for me, I know the Kilkenny man, he might like me hearing this, I think the whole country will be praying that we get the trilogy. We didn't get the trilogy last year. I would love to see the trilogy of Clare Limerick. You talk any ticket there yesterday was going to be tough. Yeah. And I'd say Croke Park are saying to themselves, you know, even last year there was talks that it might, last year's All Ireland final for the first time ever might be a sellout. If you had a Clare Limerick game, they could sell out two or three times over. But for that to happen, Kilkenny are sitting back. Clare have got to get over Dublin. And there's still going to be some massive games in the All Ireland series. Like, Clare have got to get over Dublin, and Clare beating Kilkenny in a semi final. Clare don't need reminding now. Kilkenny have an opportunity now to get a couple of players back. That's going to be a big ask. With Tipperary, Galway coming up, I think that's a 50-50 game, and whoever wins that game, then you know are going to take on Limerick. But yeah, for me, I'd love to see a trilogy
It would be brilliant. It would be absolutely brilliant. But I suppose the bigger one too, like, and again, we'd always be kind of cautious. I'd be wary now of the second game. Like you'd say, if Clare, the key thing for Clare now is to flush the system, clear the heads, because the All-Ireland series is there for them. I still would think they're in with a massive shout of making that All-Ireland. They obviously have to jump a few hurdles first. But if I'm in that Clare dressing room and we take care of business and we get to an All-Ireland semi-final where you're facing into Kilkenny, geez, after what happened last year, that's the type of stuff that motivates you. That's the stuff that gets them jumping back to the pitch, you know, this week, going, knowing this is what's ahead, lads. They know now the road ahead for them. So they just have to flush the systems. Definitely, you know, don't feel sorry for themselves as of tomorrow or the day after. You have to just get it out of your system. And I'd be nervous as a Kilkenny person. You know, Adrian Mullen, they say he may have come back at the end of the year. I don't know. He has a serious injury. A few more lads. So they have the 4 weeks to get them right. But if there's a team now that you go, God, we're going to be up against it here, it's clear. And look, they're the challenges. It'd be a great challenge to get over.
And I think from a Clare point of view, Eddie, I think last year probably, you know, if we're being realistic, and if you're probably being a Clare player or the Clare manager, did they really believe they could win the All-Ireland? Possibly not. They probably, you know, probably saying, Jesus, we could possibly win a Munster title, but would we be good enough to win a Munster title and an All-Ireland? I think after yesterday, and I think after the round-robin game against Clare, and I think what they've given to the Munster Championship, and I think if they take the learnings from last year in regards, you know, what way they're going to approach training for the next 2 weeks, possibly 4 weeks if they get over Dublin, I think they're right there. I think they have a cracking opportunity, and I think they are serious, serious title contenders. And I think the belief will be within that Clare setup now that, hey, you know what, Brian Owen is saying, hey, you know what, lads, we're good enough to push on and win this All-Ireland.
And I think that four or five lads that weren't at their best yesterday, I think Dermot Ryan wasn't there, Dave Fitzgerald not near their best, Tony, Shane O'Donnell, Aidan McCarthy. I think, you know, there's lots to be optimistic about.
Yeah, and hopefully Conor Cleary might, you know, should be back as well. And I know we touched on this at the start about Keane Nolan on Aaron Glan. Glan obviously finished at 111, 8 from frees, and 3 of those came from fouls on him by Nolan. And I know you're probably saying, like John at the start, like maybe he should have had better support, but like, should the Clare management have taken him off sooner, do you think? Do you think they left him on too long, or?
Oh yeah, well look. After he won the first, I would even go to say even in the first half they probably should have taken him off him. Like, he won the first 4 or 5 balls. I think he was after scoring 2 points. He was after scoring is the winning 2 frees. Probably at that stage they probably should have possibly moved Rory Hayes over onto him and then put Keane Nolan on Seamus Flanagan. But look, Eddie, I tell you, Sinead, if you're a corner forward and you win your first couple of balls, you bang them over the bar, your dander is up, you don't care who you're marking. And you're just saying to yourself, you just keep feeding me the ball and I'll do the damage. And like what Eddie would say the same, just keep feeding the ball. And when you're feeding the ball in, you're a corner forward and you're Aaron Gillan and you're getting a lovely diagonal ball in front of you and you know the ball is coming in and it's a 60-40 ball in favour of the forward, you're saying, just keep feeding me that ball. And from a defender's point of view, it's the cornerbacks, anyone who plays in the fullback, they tell you it's a horrible place to be in. But yeah, they probably should have made the change a lot earlier. But Jesus, I think, you know, Shannon DeMorey went in on him, but at that stage the damage was done, and I suppose he was going into that.
I thought he was the man, really. I would have felt, because when you look at Hayes done a decent job on Flanagan yesterday. You know, he went toe to toe with him. But I remember going back 2004, I marked Damien, it was 2005, I marked Damien Joyce. And the very first ball, I can hear Brian Cody saying to me, do not be behind him, you know, be out in front, which is where forward should be. But like a good defender will gamble and they'll go in front and back themselves. But I remember the same day, the ball just bounced. Like, I remember even my own head going, oh, jeez, he's in front of me now for the first ball. He's gone. And Damien Joyce was fast and mobile. The ball just bounced over his hurl and it came into me and I got a goal off it. And then for the next 10, 15 minutes, he just stood behind me. And that's the thin line between, you know, doing the right thing and playing from in front. And if he plays in front and takes that ball straight away, it's a psychological warfare, isn't it, John? Like that if you can get that first ball, then suddenly you start retreating a little bit and you're kind of playing on the shoulder rather than back, you know, out in front. And Jackie, there's the example I give you. Jackie was a divil. He would always go that step in front. He was touch tight on you, but he was very good to go in front. And I think that's a hard thing to do when you have all that space in front of you, because you're conscious of Gillan's skill level in the tight, in the ball high, in the ball low. He can wheel you. He's so good.
Yeah, and I was looking even at the opposite. Like, I was looking at, you know, in contrast to Gillan getting in front and being so confident within himself, and, you know, he was getting on so much ball and he had the confidence then to take on the scores, and he was probably playing with a bit of panache as well. Like, and I was looking at the contrast then between Hayes and Flanagan, where Hayes was after winning one or two balls, the first couple of balls, and then in the second half, there was one or two lovely balls came into Flanagan that are dream balls, but he was after missing the first couple of balls and Hayes had been him. He didn't have the confidence that the likes of Gillan had. So so instead of getting the ball out in front in compared to last year's Munster final, where he was getting out in front, putting the ball, turning, putting the ball over the bar, he was miscontrolling the ball. The ball was going in and Hayes was just picking it up. Like, as Eddie touched on there, Sinead, those are the fine lines between a cornerback getting on top and a corner forward getting on top.
Yeah, no, for sure. So look, as you mentioned there, Kilkenny and Limerick obviously will have the month build up now to the All-Ireland semi-final, and the break will do them good in terms of kind of some injuries clear up for all teams, I suppose. So Galway play the winners of Offaly against Tip and the All-Ireland quarterfinals. Clare play the winners of Dublin against Carlow. And I suppose I mentioned there, we kind of saw last year the way the Munster final just seemed to empty Clare. So they will, you know, hopefully try and do that differently this time. But from this position, lads, like, and a lot of love there for Clare as well and what they can do kind of differently in the All-Ireland series. Who, you know, who's All-Ireland? Is it to lose? Do you feel it's still open, or is it still hard to look past Limerick?
Limerick still, you know, they keep answering the questions. The challenges keep coming and they just keep taking all the punches, and they're now finding their mojo a little bit more. Little by little, they're building. And I think, you know, it was said that once they get to Croke Park now and they're out of Munster now, they've left that war behind them and it's been attritional on them. It's been tough. But they've come through it, and you know, in Croke Park now, their reward is to get out to the wide open greens of Croke Park, and I'm sure they'll have craved this. But I think, I still think they're there that bit, little bit in front. It depends on, I think Kilkenny have a bit of work to tidy up a little bit. Tip then could be a dark horse, you just don't know with them. You know, they've had a lot of injuries, they've more injuries to deal with. it probably lessens how good they can be this year, but they still will not be afraid of anyone. But I just going to jump on to Limerick just briefly. You spoke about how Kylie reacted there yesterday. I'll tell you what that is, lads. That's pressure. That is the pressure, and the pressure is going to build on this Limerick team now, and it's going to build more so within their own county. Media things will crank up a little bit now, because as John said there, now they're moving on to a place. They have a place in history, but this is really to consolidate themselves up there with any of the teams that have ever played hurling. And it's just going to be now, I think what's a big thing is controlling things. I think, and without it inhibiting, yeah, it's not tensing up. It's finding the balance between kind of embracing it and going with it, but not getting lost in it either. Because, you know, they seem to have a huge connection with their supporters and Limerick in general. And that's part of it. That's brilliant. It has to be nurtured. The young lads, all that. But I think now the big challenge for Kylie and the lads now is just keep doing what they do. Try shut out some of the noise, because there will be noise. It's part of the parcel of it. And it's just how they can kind of manage that now going forward. And yes, they have come back to the pack, but God, if they know they have the resilience and the belief in their panel, they have it more than ever this year.
Will they? How do you expect them to handle it, John? Because it is a new sphere for them now, isn't it, for Limerick?
Well, look, if they thought the Munster campaign was bad, where they had a massive target on their back, where everyone was, as I keep touching on, everyone keeps throwing the kitchen sink at them. You know, you look at the teams that are left in the All-Ireland series. You know, if Tipperary were to overcome Galway, they'd love nothing more to stop Limerick in their quest for four in a row. We know Kilkenny would love to stop them in their quest for four in a row. And Clare, their near neighbours, they would love to stop them in their quest for four in a row. And possibly Galway, then they'd love nothing more to go out and try and get revenge for 2018, which the All-Ireland that set this Limerick team on the road. But I just think, look, they're favourites for me. They're in a good place. As Eddie touched on, they're going into Croke Park. They have the 4-week break. Keane Lynch is still a big one. Like, is he injured? Isn't he injured? If they could get him back, you know, what type of place is he in? Yeah, he had to be injured. Like, I mean, he only seen limited time against Cork. Didn't see any time yesterday. So that'll give him a good opportunity. But I don't know. I'm big into written in the stars. And I think the last time Clare on the double, the minor and senior double, their minors lost the Munster final, and then they went on and won the All-Ireland. Their seniors won the Munster and the All-Ireland. Their minors won this year, won the Munster, and they won the All-Ireland. Their seniors are after losing the Munster. I'm just thinking, I'm big into written in the stars, and just thinking this, I think if any team are best equipped to stop Limerick, I think it could be Clare.
Yeah. And I tell you, I missed out on it the last time. I was probably a fraction young, but by God, if they win it this time, I think we'll be all packing the bags to head to the banner.
Oh, it'll be something else. Well, look, I know we had a cracking Munster Championship, I suppose, in particular, but there's so much more to come this summer. So, John and Eddie, thank you so much for joining me. We will be back next week, but that's it from us for now. Thanks for listening.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.